This is Lifestyles 55 Digital.
Welcome to Off the Record. It's the old professor here, John Anderson. Off the Record gives me a chance to explore a topic, whether it's a music genre or an album or a music theme in some way, in greater detail. Today I'm looking at the early years and early recordings of my favorite guitar player, Jeff Beck. In the summer of 1965, I bought the single For Your Love, heard it on the radio, loved it, and took it home. I think it was on Capitol Records in Canada. And like every 45 I bought, I always flipped it over and listened to the B-side, because quite often the B-side was something you didn't hear in the radio, didn't get on an album, and it was called Got to Hurry. And I really appreciated the lead style of the guitar player playing it. It was instrumental. I could tell that he was playing licks. I'd been playing guitar, and I did like it. I just didn't know that it wasn't Jeff Beck. I mean, for some reason, I knew that Jeff Beck was in the Yardbirds. Maybe it was from Hit Parader magazine, which I read religiously, but it wasn't until Heartful of Soul, which came out in the fall of 1965, that I first heard Jeff Beck. And right away, I recognized that this guy was different than the guy playing the guitar on Got to Hurry. Jeff Beck didn't play blues licks. Jeff Beck was like nobody else playing guitar at that time and from that point on. He drew from a wide palette of soundscapes to create his solo work and riff work and all of that. As a budding guitar player, I mean, I learned all the solo to Got to Hurry, and it wasn't that hard to learn because it was you know, bluesy licks. But learning what Jeff Beck played was always difficult. Beginning with, you know, Heartful of Soul wasn't that difficult, but I loved the tone of the guitar. And if you're a regular listener to my generation shows, you know that I often talk about guitar tone. And Jeff was using a fuzz tone and a Fender Esquire, I think, which is a one pickup Telecaster. But I became an instant Jeff Beck fan from that song. Now, what's interesting is that when their first album came out, it was called Heartful of Soul in Canada. I didn't even know about the American release until decades later. But what we got on that album was a combination of tracks that had been recorded with Eric Clapton and recorded with Jeff Beck, and it was Jeff Beck on the cover in the picture. So, somewhat confusing, but I could still tell there was a difference. I could still tell it wasn't Jeff Beck when it wasn't Jeff Beck, and I could tell when it was Jeff Beck. But I became an instant disciple, and here's the song that first did it for me.
Sacred heart of lonely, deep in dark despair. She don't love me.
interesting about that song is that they initially planned to use an Indian sitar to play the main riff in the song. They brought a sitar player from an Indian restaurant to the studio, and what they found was it was difficult to get the sitar in tune with the backing track they'd already recorded. And when they listened back to it, it sounded very thin and reedy, and you could barely hear it over the other instruments. So Jeff Beck said, give me a chance, I think I can come up with something. And using his fuzz tone, he came up with the riff that worked so well. And what Jeff was doing was kind of emulating this sitar style, which 6 months later, with the Yardbirds, they would unleash a monumental single like nothing anybody had ever heard before, called Shapes of Things. And the solo that Jeff played in that song very much is trying to sound like, to phrase like, a sitar. He double-tracked the solo and included controlled feedback in it as well. And it was, again, like nothing anyone had ever heard in terms of a lead guitar style. And it showed, once again, that Jeff Beck didn't play licks. He was way beyond all of that. I mean, he just saw guitar in a completely different way than any of his contemporaries. Shapes of Things blew my mind, and it's a precursor to psychedelic music, because psychedelic music drew very much on Indian sounds and styles and phrasing, and Jeff was doing this a year earlier. This is Shapes of Things.
Shapes of things before my eyes, just teach me to despise. Will time make man more wise? Here, within my lonely frame, my eyes just hurt my brain. But will it seem the same? Come tomorrow, will I be older? Come tomorrow, may be a soldier. Come tomorrow, may I be bolder than today? Now, the trees are almost green, but will they still be seen when time ends right after? Destroy these lands, don't make them desert sand. Come tomorrow, will I be older? Come tomorrow, may be a soldier. Come tomorrow, may I be bolder than
good fortune recently to interview Jim McCarty, who was the original drummer all the way through the lineups of the Yardbirds, with Clapton, with Beck, and with Page. And he said, you know, with Eric Clapton, it was predictable what he was going to play. But with Jeff Beck, it was unpredictable. You never knew what he was going to do. He didn't have a playbook that he played from. And he used his imagination. Now, in 1966, the band was given the opportunity to record an album. Even though we'd been getting a couple of albums based on singles and B-sides and older tracks and that sort of thing in North America, this was to be their first album, just called The Yardbirds. And he said, you know, it was quite something, because they gave us a week to record, and they allowed us to do whatever we wanted. So there was a lot of experimentation going on. And the album, known as Roger the Engineer because of the cover drawing on the front of the album. We got it in North America as Over Under Sideways Down, and the Canadian and American versions were slightly different. The Canadian version on Capitol Records had a photo on the cover of the Five Yardbirds, except that Paul Samwell Smith, the bass player, had already left the band. So there was Jimmy Page in the lineup on the cover of that album, but he never played a note on the album. Again, I used the phrase, never heard anything like this before, and the other phrase blew my mind, and that album certainly did. And depending on what version you got, whether you got a mono or a stereo version of the album, there were distinctions between how the lead guitar was mixed in with the other songs. I'm going to play you a couple of tracks from it because these represent, again, this word that I use, soundscapes. Jeff didn't play bluesy licks. He just used his imagination to create these sounds, and just awesome. I know I'm gushing here. This is from Yardbirds, Roger the Engineer, or Over Under Sideways Down, however you want to call it. The first track is called Hot House of Omar Argashid. Don't ask me why. And the second track is called What Do You Want? And Jeff plays solos at the end of these. That will blow your mind.
Yeah.
This is Lifestyles 55 Digital.
Hey everyone, it's the old professor here, John Anderson, host of Off the Record, and you're listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio. And today I'm looking at one of my favorite guitar players, Jeff Beck, and his early career. Well, in the summer of 1966, Jimmy Page joined the Yardbirds, initially on bass, and then within a few weeks switched over to second lead guitar. There were no twin lead guitar bands anywhere, and having two amazing guitar players in the band really had tremendous potential. However, it just didn't work out. Beck found it very competitive, and he felt that his position was being challenged, even though it was his idea to bring Jimmy Page into the band. The only single that we heard from this lineup was Happenings 10 Years Time Ago, which was just an incredibly bombastic single. But Beck left the band during an American tour to return to California, where he had a girlfriend at the time. He came back to the band in November while they were still on tour, and they fired him. They realized that after a couple of months of just one guitar player again, being Jimmy Page, they would do fine. So Beck returned to England, and he signed with Mickey Most. Now, Mickey Most was a pop records producer, and he had lots of hits with a lot of pop artists and pop acts. Why Beck signed with him, I have no idea. But what Most did was he wanted to craft Jeff Beck as a pop artist, and Jeff Beck is a singer. So a couple of singles came out of that. One, an instrumental version of Love is Blue, a song called Hi Ho Silver Lining, and another called Tallyman. But what you got on the flip sides was the Jeff Beck group that Jeff put together at the same time he was making these pop singles, with Rod Stewart on vocals, Ronnie Wood, who was a guitar player who switched to playing bass for the band, and Mickey Waller on drums. And they were incredible. And really, they set the stage for Led Zeppelin. They could have been what Led Zeppelin became, except that they had a lot of mistrust amongst each of the guys in the band, poor record label support as well. But they're the first real heavy blues hard rock band. And here's a track from the album that was released under just Jeff Beck's name, but it was the Jeff Beck Group. The album was called Truth. It was released in 1968. This is a song off that album called Let Me Love You, and it's written by Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart under the pseudonym J. Rod. And you hear that heavy sound that they had developed at the time, Jeff Beck Group. And remember, this was a full year before Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
poor heart.
Now, you'll note, as I've been saying all along, that Beck doesn't play your standard Eric Clapton / B.B. King blues licks. He's in a world all his own, creating these wonderful soundscapes. So the track I'm going to play next appeared on the Truth album, but it actually predates that by a couple of years, even before Jimmy Page joined the Yardbirds. He and Jeff Beck, along with Keith Moon, drummer from The Who, John Paul Jones, session musician at the time, would later go on to Led Zeppelin, they went into a recording studio together and recorded a song that is credited to Jimmy Page, but Beck has always insisted for decades that he also wrote it, and it appeared on the B-side of Hi-Ho Silver Lining, which was one of Beck's pop song where he sings singles. This is a classic tune, and every once in a while Beck used to pull it out and play it live in his shows. And I think there's some concert video that shows Jimmy Page and Jeff Beck doing this together. Very rare on stage, obviously, you know, decades after they recorded it. Based on Ravel's bolero, this is Beck's bolero. Truth album made it to number 14 on the Billboard album charts, which was quite a surprise given that there was no hit single off of the album. But it was clear that when the band played live and wherever they played live, audiences loved the heavy sound, and they loved Beck's guitar playing. He was one of the first guitar heroes and redefined the role of lead guitar. Well, in 1969, they recorded a second album, but by this point, the band was already falling apart, and Beck was not a good band leader, and there was a lot of resentment between members of the band. Mickey Walker Waller left and was replaced by Tony Newman on drums. Beck fired Ronnie Wood and then a few weeks later rehired him before the sessions. In a bizarre move, they brought in Nicky Hopkins to join the band on piano, which surprised me because Beck could make enough noise to cover anything. They didn't need a piano player tinkling away, but they went in the recording studio, this new lineup, already falling apart, lack of original material, and Rod Stewart said that in an interview. We just didn't have anything. So they pulled out a number of cover tunes, two of them being early Elvis Presley songs, All Shook Up and Jailhouse Rock. The album really is so-so. Had it been a stronger album, I think they might have been in greater contention against what would become, you know, Led Zeppelin and the Goliath that they became in rock music. After the little break here, I'm going to play you a track from that album called Beckola, and it's the album with the big green apple on the front. It's a cover of Elvis Presley's Jailhouse Rock.
This is Lifestyles 55 Digital.
Hey everyone, it's the old professor here, John Anderson, host of Off the Record, and you're listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio. You know, when you compare Led Zeppelin and the Jeff Beck group, John Paul Jones was a well-trained musician. He always played what fit the songs, but he did not have that heavy bass sound that Ron Wood got with the Jeff Beck group. And he patterned that style after John Entwistle from The Who, a very dominant, very powerful bass sound. And of course, Jeff Beck was a far better guitar player than Jimmy Page. But what Jimmy Page had was a knack for crafting great riffs for songs. And he's, in many ways, he's the great riff master. The Jeff Beck Group was booked to appear at Woodstock, and even in some of the early posters, their name is there. But the band was falling apart on their last American tour and decided instead to fly home and pass up on Woodstock. It could have changed their career trajectory. It would have made them major contenders that Led Zeppelin would have had to deal with. And the landscape of hard rock music and classic rock music may have been quite different had that happened. But Beck had seen Vanilla Fudge while he was on tour in the States and met the bass player Tim Bogert and the drummer Carmen Appice and decided to form a band with them. But on returning to England, Jeff Beck got into a serious car accident. He's an incredible car nut, and he got into a serious car accident and was laid up for almost a year. So rather than wait for Beck, Bogert and Appice formed a band called Cactus, who released a couple of albums. And at that point, once Beck got better, they were busy with Cactus. So he put together another Jeff Beck group. And this was a little different in that it had much funkier sound and style and approach than the previous Jeff Beck group. Bob Tench was on vocals, great vocalist, not in the vein of a Rod Stewart, but still a great vocalist. But Beck brought in Max Middleton on piano, who had a jazz rock fusion sort of a background. And it's Max that leads Beck into that jazz rock fusion that will be pretty much the rest of his career, with a few side trips in different styles of music. But the Jeff Beck group, part two, put out two decent albums that again represented a different side of Jeff Beck. And this is from their first album called Rough and Ready. It's got Cozy Powell on drums, who would later become a heavy metal drummer. This is a song called New Ways / Train Train. And you hear the funky style of it.
Train, train, down the line. Never, never, never been.
Before forming the Jeff Beck Group Part 2, Jeff had spent time in Detroit recording with Stevie Wonder. And Stevie had given him a couple of songs that Beck would later go on to record, and one of the songs was Superstition. Beck would record that with Beck Bogart and Apicy when he finally got together with the two Vanilla Fudge guys. But the Jeff Beck Group Mark II did a second album under just that name, the Jeff Beck Group. And it's remembered for the orange that's on the album on the cover as opposed to the apple for Beckola. It was the same lineup of the band, but this album had a little bit more rock to it. You definitely heard the funk influence on that first album, and obviously from being around Stevie Wonder and, you know, being around Motown. A little more rock in this one, but it still had that jazzy touch that Max Middleton brought to it. Here's a track from the album. This was side two, the opening track, Don Nick's song. This is Going Down. We'll be right back.
This is Lifestyles 55 Digital.
Hey everyone, it's the old professor here, John Anderson, host of Off the Record, and you're listening to Lifestyles 55 Digital Radio. And today I'm looking at one of my favorite guitar players, Jeff Beck, in his early career. The second album by the Jeff Beck Group, Mark II, closed with a song that in many ways showed, hinted, gave us a sense of where his career was going to go. It's written by Jeff. It's got a lot of jazzy fusion kind of piano from Max Middleton. The song was called Definitely Maybe.
Yeah.
I know I'm not going to get very far with this track, but I kind of want to bring it on home. Jeff finally did get together with Bogart and Appice and form BBA, Beck, Bogart and Appice, in 1973. I got to see them twice. They did two shows at the Rainbow in London. I went to both shows to see Jeff Beck. The album did okay. It certainly was heavy. This is Superstition, BBA. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Maybe I'll do another Jeff Beck, the later years feature. Take care.